Welcome to Quarks and Miracles. Well, I don't know how we're going to squeeze this in tonight, but we are going to try. Course has a really big message for us tonight. That another good one that we covered on an intensive. Every once in a while, the group will get together outside of this room for a day, and we'll bring food, and we'll have a four-hour miracles meeting. And the topic tonight is one that, another one that the world just keeps putting in front of us again and again and again. And, it is this other person, what is... whether they're good or they're bad, whether you're favorite or you're worst, or it's your image of yourself, there just seems to be something that is a person, and they're other than you. And so you got to communicate with them, and maybe you argue with them, and you try to understand them, maybe you try to get some love from them, or love to them. But it's them, see? Out there.
They're the problem.
Yes, yeah, of course, right? That's where none of us are the problem. It's always the other one. That's it, right? We're here. We're not the problem. Yeah. So what's interesting about tonight's discussion on brother, in the Course Miracles generic term for the other person, this dream in your mind of another being or many other beings. Tonight's context, tonight's teaching, and I don't think we can do it in time, so I'm going to try a little different way to discuss it, different for you guys than what we normally do, perhaps, but I'm going to couch it in its context ahead of time. Usually we discover together, right? Usually we work our way and we give in our perspectives. This topic is so big, and I know it because I tried to present it in that four-hour session we had in the summer, and it's just too big. It couldn't be done. I had that with 30 pages. But anyway, we'll try again.
Maybe you can split it up between two meetings.
Possibly could. Yeah. Probably the heck gonna have to. Yeah. So let's get our minds in this space. Like I say, the section we're in gives it an extra spin, and that is this. We're in a section of the Course in Miracles called the Obstacles to Peace. We're in a section of Course in Miracles that outlines your personal participation, what you do with your beliefs, that prevents peace from being real and common and normal and first choice. Peace is something in this world with our ego ways that we have to somehow achieve. We have to somehow get permission to be peaceful when there's a problem with money, when there's a problem with health, when there's a problem with the other, your brother. Course in Miracles is showing us how peace is our true nature. Something called love, it, to Course in Miracles, is not something you learn or get or earn. To the world it is. You should probably clean yourself up and get a haircut and some nice clothes and deserve some respect. And then maybe you'll be loved if you go be kind. It says the world. The Course says, wow, you're deep in the world of these competition for affection. It's everywhere. Earning, striving. It says that the body's purpose, the back of the book, the body's purpose is to strive. You've heard the saying, no pain, no gain. You got to earn it. That is the world. I'm not here to change that. We're not going to change the world. The world is exactly what the script is written for the world. Earth goes around the sun so many times, gets hot, gets cold. It is staying that way. We're here to change your mind about the world and thereby discover what you really are. Very radical. So we go very fast sometimes. But we come back around and we say it again later. It's so hard to get these huge concepts of actually being a spiritual entity in a physical body. How do you reconcile that? If God is all good, then why do we have the word bad at all? How does that even happen if God is all good and all powerful? What? You see how to reconcile. That's what we do, though. We reconcile, get an understanding. And you are all here because you all have the capacity, and you've been drafted by your interest. If this makes enough sense to you that you can read more than one page, you've been drafted. You are somebody who is sensitive to this idea of oneness. And you said, well, you know what? This has got some truth in it. There's only one truth. And today we're going to talk about how this obstacle to peace that is your stinking brother. If they would just change, you could be happy. If they would just understand what you mean when you speak, it would all go great. If they weren't just so stubborn and selfish, and they take some time to understand you, what you mean, they would see the love that you have, and everything would be great. It would just be great. You all know who I'm talking about.
Everybody?
Well, it's you to the other person. And the other person to you. Everybody already has somebody in their mind that they wish would just be a better communicator with them. Just, you know, take a little more compassion. The other. That's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Great.
So, let's take a few moments. Let's just touch in your idea. There is somebody touching with this idea of the other person. A Course in Miracles says, if you want to know what you believe, just open your eyes and look around. What you believe. Tonight we're going to talk about what you believe when you see another. You know, those first workbook lessons, they're pretty rough on you from a Zen perspective, aren't they? How much things mean, where they get their meaning. Okay, so let's dig in and see what insights. What gift in this perspective on God? This whole idea of God, it's a tough topic. Even the person who channeled this book, she's, I'm an atheist. Prefer not to be discussing this God thing.
Is she still?
No, she's passed away.
Oh.
But yeah, she probably is, absolutely.
So no.
Well, maybe yes, you know, in an even bigger way. Gary Renard says she's been reincarnated as a headstrong little girl. And yeah, but this idea of God has really had to be re-evaluated for me. You know, my Catholic upbringing, God is not some dude out there in heaven. I mean, the book is pretty radical on what God is. It uses the word a lot. It's one of the biggest words in the book, but it doesn't mean what my Bible meant. It's not the same character. So it's a placeholder, as all words are. God is a placeholder. That God is a symbol. God is an idea. And we're going to use that word as a shortcut to get us to the truth. We have to drop our old meanings of things. We have to say that we don't know in order to know. We are all deeply asleep on this whole idea of separation, and it's been a struggle. But with this book and the help of everybody in this room, we can rock it forward and drop some of those limiting ideas that are just fear-filled, guilt-filled, small thinking that would have you just pick up another body if something happened to yours. But you know, there's beyond the body. There is a beyond the body. Okay, so let's get a little context before we get started on tonight's reading with what the body is to this book. So everybody turn to workbook page 425. And this whole body thing, another big topic throughout this book, you know, it's the perfect barrier. It's also an obstacle to peace that we read about a few weeks ago. So just as a refresher, let's read through this. Brother John, are you ready? Would you please start?
Yes, sir. What is the body? The body is a fence the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of his self from other parts. It is within this fence he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles.
Well, hold on a second. So, if everybody gets in the same place, turn to those only about a quarter inch left in the book. Go, quarter inch, half an inch, way in the back. And then look for page 425.
Thanks.
You bet. Yeah, you don't want to miss these first couple sentences. It's really worth it. Yeah, we're going to start over. It's worth it. Brother John, would you start over first?
What is the body? The body is a fence the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of his self from other parts. It is within this fence he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. But within this fence he thinks that he is safe from love. Identifying with his safety, he regards himself as what his safety is. How else could he be certain he remains within the body, keeping love outside?
The body will not stay, yet this he sees as double safety. For the Son of God's impermanence is proof his fences work, and do the task his mind assigns to them. For if his oneness still remained untouched, who could attack and who could be attacked? Who could be victor? Who could be his prey? Who could be victim? Who the murderer? And if he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed?
The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear, where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful must the body serve the purpose given it.
Wow, would you read that sentence again, just for emphasis?
Made to be fearful must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for.
The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Though it was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body whole. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill.
You will identify with what you think will make you safe. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth and not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love and you are safe. Identify with love and you are home. Identify with love and find yourself.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Look at paragraph.
I'm going to have to get some water.
Okay. Look at paragraph 4. The body now is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Now look at paragraph 3. The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness. Oh, good. Nice. But, record scratch, it can quite suddenly revert to fear, where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose. We can change it. The purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for. And this we shall do with A Course in Miracles. The body is already installed and running like a program on your computer or a TV channel playing a certain show. And it's going to continue to do that until you change the channel, till you change what program is running in that body. It's already doing and will continue to do what it was set out to do. A Course in Miracles is interrupting the program that the body is running. You would have to voluntarily use A Course in Miracles, your Holy Spirit, and choose a different purpose for your body than fear, than separation, than smallness, than suffering, than hoping for a good feeling to come and holding on to it as long as you can until the bad feelings return. That's the ego's way. That's the world. We are looking for a different purpose for the body than all of that. Even though most of that probably still happens the day you die. You're still going to get hungry. You're going to have to sleep it. You have to water it. You have to feed it. Care for it. Keep the blood in when it gets cut. All that's still the same. But we're changing our mind about the body, and your experience of your body will change with it. Nice.
Yes. I'm willing to share.
Please.
Ever since you started the topic, I almost had tears in my eye. Right when I sat down, I got a text. And many of you know I struggle to go first network. And I've been struggling just a lot with that. This brother, it is difficult for me. And we really had a just a not great interaction earlier this week as a precursor to a performance letter that they were going to receive. And today I kind of just finally clicked the send button, and so right from the morning, I just thought, all of this anxiety in my body about getting sent on this letter today, and I was trying to meditate, trying to do my morning meditation, it wasn't going so well that I finally just completely turned it over and was like, no matter what, I cannot fix this. I can't be in control of this. I have to let go of this. And I walked through my day, and sometimes there was a little anxiety there, and I finally hit send, and then we're supposed to meet later at the end of the day, and I just thought, oh my gosh, what if this is, I don't know how this meeting's gonna go. But the person said, I'd rather not talk about the letter here. Let's do our other thing. And we just had the best meeting we've ever had. The best meeting we've ever had in just a year. And Anyway, I literally sat down here and they texted saying, sorry about it, you're home, but I just wanted you to know how wonderful that meeting was today and how, and I won't share all of the texts, but I just, I felt the same thing leaving the meeting, and I didn't know how it happened except that I had set my goal and knowing that I would not be in control of this, and I wasn't, like, that just happened, that meeting just happened that way, and we both showed up really authentically, but I didn't actually, and I felt no anxiety the entire time, even when you first came in and could have said, you know, just dug into that letter, I still felt no anxiety, but I just wasn't of me, or not of this me, but, it feels so relevant to what we're talking about here because my body has been a wreck with this for like months. And I don't know, I just am so done with that, you know?
Yeah.
Just done with that.
Nice. Nice, really.
But I was just like practically in tears because I felt like it had been such a positive interaction, but to just receive that all these hours later and then I'm sorry, you might have seen the text I'm forgetting, but I felt like I needed to give it back.
Sure. No, that is what we're talking about. Perfectly. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that in. A miracle is a shift in perception. That's what it is. See something differently. And as Julie was, you have to become miracle-minded, open-minded, in order for a shift in perception to occur. It's not something that your ego can architect. Your ego is the reason why you need a shift in perception and why you need the Holy Spirit's coaching. That's not the source of the miracle. But your emptiness, tabula rasa, your willingness to hear the truth rather than use whatever it is came from your past can bring freedom like what Julie experienced. Even if it doesn't, and that SOB brought a poster board of her email and argued about it, she would still come in more peaceful and handle this difficult situation more peaceful. I'll take more peace any day of the week. Life's hard enough without me adding difficulty to difficult situations. But often enough, it turns the whole thing around. The other person's not as defended. Beautiful. Great example. Thank you. Yeah. Did everybody have somebody that they pictured during the meditation that was difficult in their mind?
I do.
Everybody's got it.
Want to share with us?
I wish I'd heard your story, Julie. So my brother and I haven't talked in 2 years. He was my closest relative up until 2 years ago, other than my children and grandchildren. And so I have a friend, as far as I can tell, she doesn't judge me. And she's got a marvelous life, and she's very intelligent, she's arranged her life so it works beautifully for her. And she's always happy, and she's willing to listen, and she doesn't judge. So she was the one side. My brother was the other side, and she was beaming at him. And he was looking at me with love in his eyes. And unfortunately, I didn't trust him. Sitting there, not trusting him. So it didn't, what he's doing is just being her weapon when he's doing them, but it's not him. If she stops him enough, now he would stop him. So I said, oh my God, I'm giving him the lesson. We did something very similar with what you did. It's very
good. Very good.
With my ex-son-in-law.
Okay.
And that was an amazing lesson for me.
Nice.
Yeah, I couldn't see him clearly, but I knew it was him. Like, I don't see clearly what I see his personality or his being or whatever. And I put him in this, and he would blow it. He was glowing, and then the rest of the lesson said, put some other people in there, and so I put my whole family in there, and everybody was just really, really happy together. I thought, oh my God, even my daughter, my daughter, I'm still like that. were in that line of beautiful golden salmon, except my grandson. Now, my grandson is the easiest person my whole family get along with. Mm-hmm. He also never judges. He also has a ball no matter what he's doing. He brings up the does it, soccer. This is with the clothes and tosses some of his feet into the camper. Mm-hmm. He plays no matter what he's doing, he's playing. And I was wondering where he was.
Can I stop you at this point?
Just have one more sentence.
All right.
And the sentence is, he showed up and his feet were really tall and brought by.
Wow, he came in as the big arms. How about that? Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
so
I love to hear that. So.
So the contrast of the difficult one and the one who has this beautiful energy. The key here is that the beautiful energy you are able to bring present in the presence of this negative one, you are able to bring the beautiful one. And you held them both side by side. There's more accomplishment there than perhaps you know. That you could hold these two thoughts side by side. Now, if you go all the way, anybody else want to share their experience of the two?
I do want to say my conclusion at the end of the meditation was, the only way that I really can feel someone's love is I feel my own.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go and find my loving essence, and then I can get there.
That's beautiful, Luann. That's truly our understanding of love, isn't it? It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from you.
So, yeah, there was someone in mind, and followed directions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's a lesson, isn't it?
Lesson 121. Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate and so I did just get a picture of the person, long story short. I just felt the love, for lack of a better word, just energy like that. I just love it to be good.
Yeah.
And I've had difficulties with this person in the past. I mean, we don't agree on anything, but it's all good. I just got that feeling. It's all good. This stuff works.
Wow. Yes. And in your do you still see this person ever, or go drive by their house?
He's my damn landlord.
He's your landlord.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can do lesson 121. You do this exercise. Anytime you are going by his door or his house, or you think about this person, it's really great to just, in your mind now, don't confront these people, but in your mind, say, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. And then go on with your day. It's amazing the power this shift in your mind have in your world. It doesn't make sense that you could think something and it would change the way that person is to you. But I'll tell you, I've done this over the years. Yes?
I just want to say that with my difficult person in my life, I've been diligently doing this lesson and sometimes feeling moments of reprieve, but really just not feeling like a peace and frustrated because I'm working these lessons and I'm working that. And then today I was on a walk with a friend of mine and I was telling her about my frustration and she said, well, you know, it'll happen. And that's all she said. And then I thought to myself, like, oh yeah, it will happen. Like, I don't need to stress about it, look for it, watch for it, like, it will come. And then I got so much peace because I was like, it just will happen, even if it hasn't happened yet. And there was an interesting movement for me because I've been striving, like you talked about.
Nice catch.
Yeah, striving for something to change.
Very good, Cecily. Very good catch.
Mm-hmm.
That person the way they say the wrong thing to you at exactly the right time. That may never change. It's not what we're doing. It's not the purpose of this lesson. In fact, that would just be more world building if it did. If we could do something that would make that person change, like woo-woo rays, this would make the world more real. And you would be a victim to them. Now, you'd be a victim to their kindness, to their favor of not beating up on you like they used to. Nothing in this book is about behavior. We are using now bodies and the idea of other bodies to see with our own mind now, through not your eyeballs, but with your third eye, with vision, what's really happening here. This is a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. That's my summary of A Course in Miracles. Yes?
You said world building.
I gotta say your name, and your name is Matt.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
You said world building.
Yes.
You said something about engaging in world building.
Yes.
So this exercise is taking apart or deconstructing a false view.
Nicely said.
Okay.
It's taking apart a false view that's highly trusted.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Yes. Yes. And that method, that idea that's so highly constructed is a block to the awareness of love's presence. It's a block. We're breaking those blocks down. One thought at a time. So this person may not ever change. Where the peace happens, Cecily, is when you hold an eye picture or an idea of that person and you go to peace, even if only for a moment. When John thinks about his landlord and he says, "Give me your blessing, holy son of God," the ego says, "You holy son of a..."
Well, that came to my mind too.
So we're really going the exact opposite direction the ego would use to judge that person. We're not trying to change them. They're going to be what they be. That's their journey. That's their purpose, and they're doing all their thing. No. You, in your mind, that you could actually come to peace, even if only for a moment. This is a dream of peace. We are not going to go suddenly have everybody put their guns down in the world. It's not what we're doing here. We are going to have you put your guns down in your mind.
So this is the lesson that I'm actually doing today, and there's a second part, and I thought the second part was more helpful to me than the first part. First part is, "Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. I would behold you with the eyes of Christ and see my perfect sinlessness in you." And that part helped me more, because if I have a strenuous relationship with someone, I don't imagine they would want to bless me. But I do, so that part was harder until I did. "I would behold you with the eyes of Christ," because then I'm viewing them as a perfect child of God, and then they want to bless me, and see my perfect sinlessness in you. That part, I didn't quite wrap my head around that part.
Beautiful.
The first two lines work.
Thank you, Cecily. Thank you. How appropriate is that? I would behold you with the eyes of Christ. Maybe not with my own eyes, are having a hard time. My own eyes are having a hard time seeing you nicely. But I'll use the eyes of Christ to behold you. And using the perspective of Christ, using the perspective of oneness, that's all. That's all Christ is in this book, is a manifestation of oneness. The child of God as God created that child. That's all Christ is. You in your right mind. So I would use that perspective to see this SOB, and then see my holiness reflected in that other person, not with my eyes, but with this perspective of oneness.
So my person, it's the same person. On both sides.
Oh. Nice.
Is that okay?
Yes. As long as you feel the gentle and kindness in one, and then you really feel the difficulty in the other.
It's perception, you know. It's,
because what we're doing is the contrast. We're holding side by side in our mind the difficulty and the blessing.
The one person perceives the world in one way. Mm-hmm. And that other person perceives it in another way, and she is, you know, so good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that goodness, and then I know the frustration and the fear, the anger, the sadness.
Yeah.
As well, and so I want, Cecily, I want to strive and change it.
Yeah.
See, letting it be is infinite patience. What did you call this? A psychological journey to
a spiritual awakening.
A spiritual awakening. Okay. Can I go? Yeah. That's it. That's the summation.
That's it. You can go. You got that. You got that. You can go.
It was that easy.
As long as you do it. Your course also says readiness is not mastery. Mm. Nuts. Because I've memorized a lot of this book. I'm ready.
Sounds like it.
I'm ready. Yeah, thank you, Cecily. That certainly, that other piece is what we're trying to do tonight, is to be able to use the idea of God. All God means is truth in this book. The idea of truth, to be able to see through the differences and see the sameness, that the love that I would like to have, the love that Christ would have, being awake, and the love, that love now is invested in this other person. They, with Christ's mind, you see that person is actually seeking for the same thing you are. They use four-letter words. They put your name intermixed with those four-letter words, and it's not pretty. What are they trying to do by yelling at you?
Feel good about themselves?
They're trying to feel good about themselves. That's what they're trying in their fumbling way that really rubs you the wrong way. Is they, please, would like to be happy.
Please, what? Okay.
They would like to be happy, and they're not. They would like to feel good about themselves, and they don't. They are struggling and suffering, and they would like to go to peace. And the only way they know how is yelling at you. They thought, maybe this will work. That's what they're doing. You are called upon. What?
Like a safety release valve.
Yeah, there's pressure in there and they're seeking for relief.
Well, knowing that, take some of the power out of their attack, man.
Thank you. And you have compassion. And now you see and you understand that this is a call for love. It's ugly. It's ugly. I admit it, right? It's easy. I don't like when they do that.
The other part of that then is it's a call for love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a call for love without them realizing the only place they're going to find it is in themselves.
Yes.
Say that again.
Do you hear what she just said?
Nope.
Not bad, Luann. I'm going to show you how Jesus says it. But that's pretty darn good. You know where I'm going, right, Julie? Mm-hmm. Everybody turn to page 217 in the text. To one of my favorite sentences.
Paragraph 9.
That's right. The end of paragraph 8, I think. Well, I could be
is
wrong.
Is it 217?
217. Yeah,
in the text.
In the text.
That means the front
of the book.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Front of the book. Yeah, the book. There's several books in this book. Because we are studying now this whole addiction to fear and following fear and trying to defend from fear and trying to make the world better by handling our fear. So now what your brother is doing to you, what's really going on there? Ha! Let's take a look. Let's go to... well, tonight, we can actually go back to 16 and start with paragraph 6. Who's up to bat?
Yes.
Page 216
or
something?
Yes, thank you. Page 216, 216 in the front of the book, and paragraph 6, and Julie's going to rock it for us.
Only appreciation is an appropriate response to your brother.
Wow.
Gratitude is due him for both his loving thoughts and his appeals for help. Both are capable of bringing love into your awareness if you perceive them truly. And all of your sense of strain comes from your attempts not to do just this. How simple, then, is God's plan for salvation? There is but one response to reality, for reality evokes no conflict at all. There is but one teacher of reality who understands what it is. He does not change his mind about reality because reality does not change. Although your interpretations of reality are meaningless and your divided state, his remain consistently true. He gives them to you because they are for you. Do not attempt to help a brother in your way, for you cannot help yourself. But hear his call for help of God, and you will recognize your own need for the Father.
David?
Your interpretations of your brother's needs are your interpretations of yours.
Wow, would you read that again just for emphasis?
Your interpretations of your brother's needs are your interpretations of yours. By giving help, you are asking for it. And if you perceive but one need in yourself, you will be healed. For you will recognize God's answer as you want it to be. And if you want it in truth, it will be truly yours. Every appeal you answer in the name of Christ brings the remembrance of your Father closer to your awareness.
In the name of Christ? Anybody want to take a hack at what that is? It's like how you would translate that, what Course means by the name of Christ? An appeal in the name of Christ?
We said oneness, that Christ meant oneness?
Yeah, the oneness. The oneness perspective. The true self. The oneness, as the source would have created you, is the name of Christ. So it's an appeal through oneness. Yeah, very good. Please continue.
For the sake of your need, then, hear every call for help as what it is, so God can answer you.
Mm-hmm.
By applying the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the reactions of others more and more consistently, you will gain an increasing awareness that his criteria are equally applicable to you.
Okay, now, let's rehearse just for a second. What is the Holy Spirit?
The voice for God.
The voice for God. Not the voice of God. The voice for God. Leading toward God, pointing toward God, speaking of the attributes of God. And remember, God just means truth. So it's the voice for truth. The voice for truth. Where is the Holy Spirit?
Within.
What?
Within you?
Yes! He's the newbie. How come you guys aren't jumping up and filling in here? It's within you. It's within your own mind. Remember, holy, you could put a W in front of that word. Holy. H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L, same intent. It is the thought system, the thought pattern, that would lead you back to one. It is the part of your mind still connected to the truth of oneness. That is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of wholeness. And when you're not thinking with the Holy Spirit, you are thinking with the unholy spirit.
Ego.
Which is the spirit of separation.
Ego.
Yes. That would see evidence and proof that things are different and in competition all the time. That's the ego. That loss is inevitable. That's the ego. When you look with wholeness, not only gain is inevitable, completion and expansion is inevitable. Creation is inevitable. Sharing is inevitable. This is thinking with the Holy Spirit.
So nothing's really changed, it's just your perception of it.
Yes. Let's just pause for a moment as the truth has been spoken. Yes. As I say the wise words of that unknown sage, it is much easier to put on a pair of slippers than carpet the whole world. You change your mind about the world instead of changing the world so that your mind can be happy. That's A Course in Miracles in a flippant sentence. Yeah, you got it, Sharon. Would you just start over again now that we've talked about the Holy Spirit?
You mean me?
Oh, you? Oh, sorry. I mean you. Perfect. Yes.
By applying the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the reactions of others more and more consistently, you will gain an increasing awareness that his criteria are equally applicable to you. For to recognize fear is not enough to escape from it, although the recognition is necessary to demonstrate the need for escape. The Holy Spirit must still translate the fear into truth. If you were left with the fear once you had recognized it, you would have taken a step away from reality, not towards it. Yet we have repeatedly emphasized the need to recognize fear and face it without disguise as a crucial step in the undoing of the ego. Consider how well the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the motives of others will serve you then.
Well, read that sentence again for emphasis. It's what we're studying tonight.
Consider how well the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the motives of others will serve you then. Having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, he has taught you that fear itself is an appeal for help. This is what recognizing fear really means. If you do not protect it, he will reinterpret it. That is the ultimate value in learning to perceive attack as a call for love. We have already learned that fear and attack are inevitably associated. If only attack produces fear, and if you see attack as the call for help that it is, the unreality of fear must dawn on you, for fear is a call for love, an unconscious recognition of what has been denied.
Period. Whoa. And that's what Luann was saying, that last sentence. He sums it all up with sentence 13. For fear is a call for love. And it's so ugly though, isn't it? The fear? How could you call that love? It's so ugly. Well, that's because it's an unconscious recognition of the very thing, love. It's a recognition of the love that's been denied. Love is blocked, and when you block love, it looks like fear. Looks like guilt, looks like sadness. That's what it looks like. But the more love you need in that moment, the stronger will be the fear. The stronger will be the sadness. The stronger will be this rejection. Because fear is a call for love. In an unconscious recognition of that love that's been denied. More love denied, more fear comes out. Sharon.
Okay. So, ugliness is coming at me. I can understand that it is a call for love. I get that. You don't want me to change anything. You just want me to understand it and realize it and just be present. That's it.
I want you to understand it and it's not an attack.
Okay. And just be open. Just be open and understand. That's...
What if it is an attack? What if it is an
attack? I'm really trying here.
Okay, now, that's good. That's good now. That's good now.
Like reality.
If
right?
it, yeah. if it is, if it is an attack, duck. Okay, really.
Like someone in my life right now really wants me to be afraid.
Yeah.
They are... It's a really weird illusion I am looking at in this crazy thing that's happening in my life. And mm-hmm. It's brought me to my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not want reconciliation. Mm-hmm. They want destruction.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure out how I'm staying away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying in my own lane, trying to do the work over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in my visualization,
mm-hmm.
and I could give her the blessing, mm-hmm. but I couldn't get the blessing from her.
And it's okay. You asked for it. That's what this is, the exercise of lesson.
Yeah, I asked for it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't coming. So
that's fine. That's okay. A start. That's a start. I'm telling you, putting those two side by side in your mind is huge, and you probably don't know it yet.
So that's what you want. That's because that's huge. So
huge.
Yeah. Huge. So... That's all you want, or that's what this
that's
wants.
That's a good start. It, more happens.
Okay.
More happens, Sharon.
I'm not the more yet. I'm still
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's okay. This is huge. A great start, and you're enabling something that was otherwise impossible, but now it has begun. It's like putting a seed in the ground and covering the soil over it. I don't see anything has happened yet, but at least I did that. Well, that was huge that you put the seed in the ground.
Okay.
How big, how important is it? It's kind of a good start, you know,
oh,
if you're going to grow.
I can see that she wants love.
Yeah, that's good.
That what she's doing is she wants love and adoration and
terrifying.
Significance and, you know,
but
like...
she doesn't want it from you.
She's making me small so she can be big.
Yeah, I get that.
And she thinks that'll bring her love, and she's wrong.
Right.
That's what she thinks.
That's the ultimate goal, I think, for her.
Mm-hmm. So when you realize that even though it's attacking you, what she's still doing is crying out for love.
Yes.
And now it's not personal.
The trap for you is that you get strategic about it. That you start trying to figure it out, like how you're going to approach it. And that's just part of, they'll just keep you where you are, as opposed to...
Yeah.
You know, what Cecily was talking about, you know, what Julie was talking about, somehow you find that moment of surrender mm-hmm. where it's no longer your voice, your thought. I don't know how it works. We've all had that experience. It's just like, what the hell was that? That wasn't me. That wasn't how I would have done it.
Julie?
You're not a doormat.
You're not a doormat. If no. there is an attack coming, duck. Because you're still in a body, and that's the way the world works. There's no need for you to suffer these physical losses that will happen. But our real work is in your mind.
Right.
On how you see what's really going on. And as you beautifully said, it says, you know, once you see the person is calling for love in that ugly way, it kind of takes out the teeth a bit. Mm-hmm. It takes out the harm that they can do to you. As the Course will have you learn pretty soon hereafter, that the only answer to a call for love is giving love.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because my granddaughter, from the age of 8 to 14, every time I walked in the house, and this is my family's son, wanting to be there as much as often, would attack me, tease me mm-hmm. about how old-fashioned I was, or mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff for 6 years. I went to my therapist, and we worked out this plan where I would walk out when she did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but love her. But
mm-hmm.
My grandmother part said usually says no whenever it means I might not be with my family. But this time she said, I can't handle this anymore. It's too painful. So yes, you can walk out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from my therapist to my daughter's house. I walk in the door. My granddaughter gets up, throws her arms around me and says, I love you, Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She's 24 and she's been that way for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up fighting her.
Yeah.
I just said, I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to continue to love her, and that's all I'm going to do. And I'm not going to let myself be there to be attacked either.
If I defend myself, I am attacked. Lesson 135. Julie?
Well, that's what I was going to say is that you may not
honestly be able to see the attack as a call for, like, you, or you could think intellectually it's a call for love, but you don't have to, like, send out beaming love. It's about letting yourself go to peace in that moment, loving yourself enough to go to peace in that moment. Nice. And they will feel it, and they will feel it, and that is one way you can give love, even if the person still is, it's easy to perceive them as a beep, you know, because that, if you were to just beam, like, pretend to beam love, that's not, it might not be authentic, it might not be honest. It's like trying to create a little story in your mind. I'm going to love them anyway, even though they're actively attacking me, but it's just saying, like, I'm going to let myself go to peace, and that will translate as you bring that peace to yourself, it will be given, and you actually don't have to do anything, because it's all about letting, like Stephen was just saying, you have to just find peace for an instant so the Holy Spirit can do the rest, like, you know, just enough to say, I can't do this.
Nice.
Where I really can't, because all we do is make it worse.
Yes, like, you make it worse.
About an hour ago. Just an hour and a half ago, that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then it came at me, and I didn't take the bait, and I would have a month ago.
Yeah, what it means to you?
And I just smiled.
Didn't take the bait.
And, you know, I'm usually the one that throws the bait.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I not only stopped doing that, but this time I didn't even take it. So,
did you feel
progress, not perfection?
Progress.
Did you feel good, right? Doing that.
Oh yes, yes. Okay. And the whole next, you know, 15 minutes you before I left to come here, it's kind of
your ego doesn't have to do anything.
Right. It went much better. Getting ready to come here.
Yeah.
So they're fine words indeed, but it's the ego that doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. These are nice words to hear, but if your ego's involved with it, mm-hmm. I don't see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that your ego's invested in the situation. When that happens, you're not going to just let it be. You're going
to and that's what I'm working on in therapy, is to get rid of that ego.
We're all working.
I mean,
on
and in here, and in here.
Yeah, yeah. Weren't there
and, yeah exactly.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, but yes, I mean that's right. And I, you know, kind of seeing that, at least the beginnings of change.
Yes, it's like that. You make a choice the opposite the way your ego would have gone, and this is how you go to your own enlightenment.
But you know, isn't it also true that all of this is illusion, including the ego?
Yes,
yeah.
So incredibly the truth is, we don't have to get rid of the ego. All we have to do is disbelieve in it.
Yeah, that's it. Stop believing in it.
Seriously. Well, don't believe it in there, but don't take it seriously.
Stop taking it seriously, and then it starts to get smaller. Stop feeding it. It starts to get smaller. Stop rehearsing it. It starts to get smaller. Stop using it for your defense. It starts to get smaller and weaker.
And every time you have something that busts the ego, you get smaller, and you can't use that method to get you again. And mm-hmm. pretty soon it runs out of methods.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to fight back.
Well, when you said
it was clever enough to come up with many stratagems to ensure its contained existence.
Mm-hmm. Because you are in its domain.
Yeah.
So I learned from addiction and treatment.
Yes.
Years ago, that, you know, you treat it like running into someone in the airport who wants to, you know, talk to you, and you say, look, I, you know, let it talk to you, I don't have time right now. Gotta go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't even get started.
Well, I like to laugh at it.
There was a comment you said, you pass by their house and it's a, you ask for a blessing.
Yes.
So I'm trying to, because I'm always the one trying to give the blessing. Mm-hmm. So asking for the blessing, roll that out for me a little bit more.
Okay, so.
Help me understand how that will alchemize.
Okay, so lay up.
Stress.
This whole book is amazing to me because it does exact opposite of so many other self-help things that I've ever seen that didn't keep helping.
Right.
This is different. And it's going to turn all sorts of things around, the exact opposite of what you think would be like. And so this is another example. So instead of you being the nice person, why don't you practice on being really nice to her, and then she'd be nice to you? This is efforting in the world to do something, perhaps even something that is not sincere, to evoke a change in that person. That's hard, man. I mean, it probably works some places, okay, but that is a hard way to...
No, I mean, really, it doesn't, because anybody can see through that crap.
They see through it. It's a faker. They don't trust it. You don't trust it. Huh?
Well, that's right. They don't trust it because it's just, well...
It's hollow. It's empty. It's
because they've seen that behavior before. It's like courtship behavior, right? And what's the real person is going to pop up again. You know, it's the...
Yeah, that's a problem. None of us are good enough actors to pull it off. So lying is seen through quite quickly.
Lying. Right.
So then
like spiritual ego.
Yes.
Where, you know, we have a set of ideas or something we're committed to be always be kind or, you know, to listen for the cry for love or whatever.
Yeah.
But the trap is then we behave or think or pray or whatever we do at our end, and just because of the pull of this world, some part of our mind is looking for that it should work.
Yes.
Right.
That
right.
There should
in
be
the
a
world.
Result.
In the result in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to stop right now. Right.
Different rule book.
We are not trying to fix the world here. Luann just reminded us, you know what, if you read the book a little further, you find out the world, there is no world. It's a dream. But as I reminded Brother John, you are in the world's domain. You are in the dream as a figure in your own dream, and you forgot that you're dreaming it. That's what's going on in chapter 27. It spells that out. Whether you're ready for it or not. Yes?
So can you finish it? Helping all of us?
Yeah.
So you're telling us is that we're not helping them, we're helping us. So give us peace. Ask peace for us.
Yes. And the way we do it is we go directly opposed to what the ego believes.
One more time?
You go, because when you do... If you do it with the help of what we call the Holy Spirit, which is an open-mindedness, that the truth is present and available, when you do that, and you take a breath, and you look at that horrible house that has that horrible person in it, that has nothing good to say about you ever, that's the one you go to. You see how that's so opposite already? And what you're going to do is take a breath, and say, I would like now to use the perspective of oneness to show me that person from a perspective of oneness, and let me see that even there, somewhere hidden in the darkness that dwells in that house, is a little spark. Just let me see that there's some... I can't do it. Let the Christ mind allow me to see a little spark in that darkness.
So, I'm sorry, I'm a little slow.
No problem.
So, what I'm asking for is peace for me to see our oneness. That's it. Because I don't want to do the bullshit crap, because I'm too old for that crap. So
there's another piece. It's a great place to start. And if you're happy with that, go for it.
I'm just basically asking for a breath.
That's fine. That's good enough. If that works for you, you can stop right there, close the box.
Okay.
But there's more.
And see the oneness.
It's really nice to come to peace, okay? For the alcoholic, and anybody who's willing to talk about alcoholism... please do. I'm not an expert in that, but I think that it's such an analogy to the ego addiction that I am fishing for more parallels. I even got the website egosanonymous.org because I think I'm going to make that a Course in Miracles site. Okay?
Yes.
So, and I've been to AA meetings with family members, and I think, oh my God, it's here too! But...
Isn't what we're trying to do is say to that person, the men, and if we possibly can, the Christ in you. It doesn't mean you as a person here on this earth with your own ego, but the Christ in you is always there. Yes. And that's what I'm asking a blessing from.
Yes, that's correct.
So when you say there's that ugly person in that ugly house doing all those ugly things in there,
yep.
There's oneness in there. So yes. If there's oneness in me and there's oneness in them, when I open that door, I'm going to see me.
Yes.
That's all you're seeing anyway.
Okay.
That's the kicker.
Only if you're in your right mind. So if you're in your wrong mind, you're going to see the devil.
Think with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Come on, let's not flower this up too much.
You're right. I'm going to go in and I'm going to see me, all the shitty parts in me and all the lovely parts in me are in her too.
That's not what you're looking for.
What you look for, you'll find. Turn to. Turn to.
Wait. Just reconnect me to asking that person for a blessing. I still want to understand how.
No, not that person. A blessing for you.
Asking that person to bless me. No. Right?
Now, hold on now.
Ask the Holy Spirit just to take it away from you. You're asking for a blessing for you to see oneness. Nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
I thought I was.
Okay,
asking
now,
them
now you're going to peace. That's your job. So you stop and close the box and you just take a breath and say, oh, thank God I was able to come to neutral.
Neutral's fine.
That's great, right?
Yeah.
Good enough, Sharon.
Yeah, great.
But there's more.
Okay.
And the more is. Is that now you would include that darkness. You would take the spirit perspective and let it shine through that darkness back to you. Closing a circle that only brought pain before. And that's the import of Lesson 121. And other places that we'll look at tonight, if we get there, the book is trying to help you break down the victimhood that's going on in your mind.
That's what I want.
It can be broken, and it'll be broken by you.
Yes.
Not by them, right. And not by anything you read or said, but by a willingness to break down the power that they would have to take your peace away. They don't have it. Nobody does.
Okay.
That's where we're going with this book.
All right.
Good.
Amen.
Good. Okay. Right, thank you, Sharon.
No, I'm grateful. Yeah.
I love it.
We're on that ride.
Anybody can just raise their hand as thank you, you did, and say, slow down. Mm. I love it. We can get into the fact of what we're really trying to do anyway. So thank you, Holy Sister. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, having done that, I'm going to speed us back up.
Thank God you guys are here to explain what these sentences mean.
Yeah, I know, really?
It's really...
It's dense.
Complex.
It's really steep.
Stretching that out.
Yeah, it's steep and it's fast.
Yeah.
And it makes me that the book is only 1,300 pages when you get to the depth of what we just went through. That's here, sitting...
The complex parts is... The ego is what makes it complex. When you get to a point, you realize, this is really simple. Just do that.
Yeah, I want what you have.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, turn to page 142 in the text. Page 142 in the text. Kenny, what page are we going to?
142.
Yes. In the text. If that means that's a friend.
Yeah, that's a friend.
Okay. In the front, yes.
That you're looking for.
Okay, look at paragraph 4 right in the middle of the page of 142.
Yes.
Who's up to bat?
Bridget.
Hello. Would you read for us paragraph 4?
When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you.
Do you see that circle showing up again? Mm-hmm. Seeing yourself, seeing him, seeing yourself, affording for him the very basics of what you want yourself as somebody who also is seeking for love and happiness.
So yes. Is this sort of the yogic, the seeing the divine in others?
Yes.
Sort of?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an namaste thing, you bet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what that word means, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, the truth in me sees the truth in you. Okay. So,
I honor your Buddha nature.
Yeah, you bet.
Namaste.
Yes, namaste, same
namaste.
Thing. Yeah. So let's read. So,
Leah,
read for us paragraph 5.
The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself.
Okay, now that means, regardless of the teacher, whether you get to use this this assholy one we've been talking about, or you use the Jesus or Buddha or, you know, Mother Teresa, regardless, what we're talking about is your identity. Mm-hmm. You're the real you. Please continue.
There's nothing else to seek. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours. The ego tries to find them in yourself alone because it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself because that is not what you are. Whenever you are with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in the kingdom, and you will have yours.
Woo! So it turns out...
That's a tall freaking order. Mm-hmm.
It's a tall order.
Job description.
Job description. You know what to do. And the book is also saying that the way out is the same way you got into this problem. We're going to retrace our steps. You made your problem as the block. Now you will unmake your problem as the block. Otherwise, it stays put in your mind. We're going to see holiness where you saw hell before. In your mind, you don't have to witness a change in the world where this person starts bringing you roses and chocolate now. That is not the goal. Not necessary.
It's your perception.
Don't worry, it won't happen.
Don't hold your breath on that one. But when you drive by their house and you take a moment, Holy Spirit, help me with this, and you look at that horrible place with that horrible person inside, no kidding, right? I mean, they have problems in this world with some of these people, but you switch your mind over with the Holy Spirit's help and you see them through your Christ's vision. And allow now that vision, that little spark in them, to send you a blessing back to you, to your heart, to your heart. It's the exact opposite of what the ego would have you do or could even ever experience. But that breaks the spell. Yes?
When I listen to Abraham Hicks sometimes, and one of the things they say is that they love when people are stubbornly unlovable in your life because it shows you how to have unconditional love and to love despite the condition that you're seeing or that it's presenting to you, and that it's actually a huge gift that person is giving to you. Because it forces you to focus on Source and God and have unconditional love for that peace, irrespective of the conditions that you're seeing.
And if you can do that, you witness the power of your mind and the gift of love and peace.
Spiritual boot camp.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Boot camp with constant reminders, pop quizzes every time you think of them. Whoa.
Business opportunities.
Okay, we do want time, not too good. Okay, so, you know, let's read yet another paragraph here.
Yep.
Yes.
But we keep looking.
Matt.
Okay, the kingdom cannot be found alone, and you who are the kingdom cannot find yourself alone. To achieve the goal of the curriculum, then, you cannot listen to the ego, whose purpose is to defeat its own goal. The ego does not know this, because it does not know anything. But you can know it, and you will know if you are willing to look at what the ego would make of you. This is your responsibility, because once you have really looked at it, you will accept the atonement for yourself. What other choice could you make? Having made this choice, you will understand why you once believed that when you met someone else, you thought he was someone else. And every holy encounter in which you enter fully will teach you that this is not so.
Beautiful. Thank you. And now, let's go to tonight's reading on page 422. Now, what we're talking about here is the block to the awareness of peace, which is the fear of God. The fear of God's presence being in that ass holy one we've just been thinking about all this time. The fear of God being present. The fear that God is real. Whew, how can you just surrender to that idea when you got so many problems?
If we could acknowledge that God is in everyone else,
yes,
not just the ones who are nice to us.
Yes.
If we could see that, then we'd have to give up all our ideas of evil and bad karma and they're after us and all that other stuff.
Yes.
We'd have to give it all up.
We'd have to give it all up.
It'd be rendered unnecessary.
It'd be unnecessary. And that's a bit fearful for somebody who only knows all of those things. But that's right. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but there is a way, and it's time for us, we who are warriors on this path, that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to go against the comfortable ways of the ego, which actually suck a lot. So it's not going to be so hard when you get into it. Okay, now we're looking at paragraph 10. Okay, and what we're talking about is the fear of God. And we're going to see this fear of God. We're going to look right at it so we can let it go. You realize that what's about forgiveness is you can't forgive something that you're not looking at? That's why you can't generally forgive everything. You only forgive things that you think are real. And you have to kind of be thinking about what it is you need to forgive. Otherwise, you don't need to forgive it. If it's not in your mind, you don't need to forgive it. So the fear of God now, we have to actually look at it. You actually have to look at this SOB dark person who says all these horrible things and look at them differently. Undefended now. You would look at them with the Holy Spirit in your mind and say, let me see this person differently.
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a passage, because I've had lots of religion. It said, have no enemies. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, on this thing of fear of God, I felt before where you can get into it and you feel, well, you can see where the God concept is fearful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I could feel that, got to that place. Is that the same as when you're looking at somebody else and seeing, I haven't really done that to see that. Is that the same, basically? Or as you can see, it's slightly different.
Well, right there, your ego is more comfortable than saying God is not present in that person. He's afraid to have God there at all.
But you have to see the God in that person, then you see the fear.
Yeah, then you're gonna feel the fear of God as you try to see God in that person that you wish.
But it would be relating to that person, or it would be the other concept that I have.
It's going to be the presence of that person, but the concept of God. You're gonna hold them side by side.
Yeah,
and the light.
Yeah,
will shine away the dark. You're going to have to bring this darkness into the presence of the light. You know, light and dark are incompatible. Isn't that fortunate for us? That light and dark are incompatible, and the dark never wins, ever? This room. How dark is this room right now?
Right, dark can't dispel light, but light can dispel dark.
That's what I'm trying to say. No amount of darkness can overwhelm the light.
Then you bring the light.
Even a little bit of light, yes?
Then you bring the light of Christ, of truth,
yes?
Of God.
Yes.
And view that person through that truth.
Yes.
And then you realize, oh my God, they are God just like I am.
And you realize it experientially. When you do this, which is really important for you, important for you too, for all of us, what you're having, we're going to these pictures in our mind, and we have these words to say. We got lesson 121 as a guide. We have our session tonight when we're working through this together. But the correction is the feeling you get when you allow for a moment a little bit of light to enter the darkness that you saw before. That is the blessing. That is the salvation. That is the awakening. That is your spiritual awakening in a very dark place. Is when you allow the power of even a little bit of light to enter into that very dark situation. It puts a crack right through the foundation of it. And as you said, compassion starts to come up. And they're just not as bad as it was before. Because the healing has begun. Yeah.
They have so many words in this book that mean truth, and I've always thought light means truth. If I can put a little bit of truth about what that person really is, then I have to say, it's the same as I am.
Yep.
The same as I am. There's the only thing that's real about the two of us is completely real about the two of us. Is that we are of God, and we are of love, and we are of truth.
And source.
And source. Well,
would it be okay if I just ask for the blessing? Truly ask for the blessing to let it go or whatever, and then just not be around them?
Yes!
Until they...
Absolutely!
Okay.
Please!
I've been wanting to interject this for a while. It's the perfect place to do it. And you're talking about AA, because I'm a part, I have a sponsee. He is a violent person. He gets in fights very easily. He's been in jail because of this and all of that. And it's one of the things we're working on. And I can't believe that he actually responded and trusted me enough to do this, but he has a hard time with men. And I've been working on this. And I said, you realize in some of these situations when you get into this rage, that if you can just stop for a second and understand that what's going on is illogical and back away. And he goes, I can't walk away. I didn't say walk away. I said, back away. Stop and take one step backwards and allow your mind to reset and reassess. He has come back to me with three situations where he's been able to do that, not get into a fight, and I've had other people in my circle saying, he's starting to calm down a little bit now.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Because it's forcing him. He thought it was cowardly to walk away, and I said, don't. Don't turn your back. Take a step back. Mm-hmm. And just that little changed his perception enough to where now he's been able to start to diffuse some of these situations that he's now recognizing are illogical. Mm. It's illogical in this situation to have rage.
Mm.
It's because of his past and things that he's gone through.
Yeah. A bunch of habits.
It's a huge... What's that?
A bunch of habits and...
Yeah. And this has been a huge deal that he's been able to back down from some of these things. Huge.
Yeah. It applies to all of us. Because in our lesser instances, we're not going to actually hit somebody, but we're about to say something we really would rather not say.
Right. And has this cured? It's a long way to go. Hell yeah. But just that little teeny bit.
You bet.
Just that
little bit of light.
Yeah. You see that little bit thing? It's going to be able to shut it down and go, okay, this is good.
A little bit of patience. A little pause. can derail the ego.
He's a good example.
Yeah. Yeah. It de-escalates. Take a few breaths.
And we finally got him into a martial arts, so now he's letting his discipline go in a disciplined, no, in a disciplined way.
Yeah, no, true.
Right? And we're talking about this together. I said, that's really a disciplined way to let the rage out. Absolutely. And in the outside world to be able to take that step back.
Absolutely. And you know that when
and the two working together have been, this guy's...
Yeah, no, that's great. The martial arts. Yeah, yeah. The martial arts are going to teach him how to break the guy, you know, break somebody in half. But it doesn't work out. They don't actually break people in half. Once they learn martial arts, they understand they could break them in half very easily, and their fear goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to be in the fight or struggle because they know they can end that person, and they don't do it. The funny thing about martial arts has that wonderful calming effect.
Here it is.
Okay, turn to page 422 now. And it was... Matt, no, did Matt read?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So number 10?
Number 10.
Okay. Nor is it possible to look on this too soon.
Now what's this? The fear of God. Please continue.
This is the place to which everyone must come when he is ready. Once he has found his brother, he is ready. Yet merely to reach the place is not enough. A journey without a purpose is still meaningless. Even when it is over, it seems to make no sense. How can you know that it is over unless you realize its purpose is accomplished? Here, at the journey's end before you, you see its purpose. And it is here you choose whether to look upon it or wander on, only to return and make the choice again.
Here, sentence 7, the journey's with the journey's end before you, and the journey's end is that you would actually rejoin with God, with oneness. You would be the prodigal son going home to where you belong. You would stop resisting what God is. It's what you are. But you've had a fantasy of being different and separate from all that is. It's just a big wake up, okay? So here, with the journey's end before you, you do see the purpose of the journey. Wow, that's huge that things can start to make sense that way. And it's here you choose whether to look upon the journey's end, to look upon the fear of God, to look upon your awakening, to look upon your rejoining source, to look upon your rejoining the house of your birth, to look upon you being an extension of God. A direct extension of God. It means you have all the power of God and nothing can curb it. To look on that would be wholly different than being a separate victim stuck in a body that will have to get something to eat by tomorrow morning.
Yeah. It's kind of like, when you talk about martial arts, it's kind of like, for me, the reason that they don't have to kill the person now is because they feel absolutely safe in their own power.
That's the point. That's right. It's a real gift. It's a real gift that you get with martial arts.
Well, I'm saying you get that when you realize you also are of God.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Yeah, you have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. You can't have the loss that you were worried about before. When that dawns on you, even if you were to lose an arm or a leg or your whole body, it does change the perspective of what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. True peace now. True peace. Okay, let's read real quick paragraph 11.
And that's
Europe,
Andrew.
Oh, it's me? Thanks. To look upon the fear of God, it does need some preparation. Only the sane can look on stark insanity and raving madness with pity and compassion. And not with fear. Not with fear. For only if they share in it, in the insanity, does it seem fearful. And you do share in it, until you look upon your brother with perfect faith and love and tenderness. Before complete forgiveness, you still stand unforgiving. You are afraid of God because you fear your brother. Those you do not forgive, you fear. And no one reaches love with fear beside him. Well, there it is in black and white, a relatively short sentence. And why we spent so much time tonight on this. You are afraid of God because you fear your brother. You see, God has become something very distant that you no longer know of, no longer see, no longer connect with. But your brother, the SOB in that very dark house doing those dark things, that you see. And sometimes you have to duck so you don't get hurt. So your brother has now become more real to you than God. Your body's become more real to you than God. Your bank account is probably more real to you than God. The whole world, that's the purpose of it. It's not a sin, it's not evil. It's a whole exercise of separation, that's all. And that's not sin or evil anywhere to be found.
Did you say you are separate from God because you fear your brother, or you are afraid of God because you fear your brother?
You're afraid of God because you fear your brother. Okay. You fear your brother, that's making your brother capable of hurting you. And that has the direct effect of making separation real. That your brother could hurt you means that's what you need to defend against. Forget God. Get ready to duck, attack, or defend your brother. If you fear your brother, that makes you afraid. Now you must fear God. Why? Watch us go right back to the beginning here. Because for you to awaken to God, it means that God is in your brother. All the time, everywhere. There's no place God is not. Remember, God is not somebody. God is something. And that thing is the truth. And all the power that you would use to make this nightmare, that's God. All the power that you would use to bring love and peace and happiness, that's God.
And our ego wants us to think that God's not in our brother, so we can be mad at them, or fight against them, or attack them back, or whatever.
That's the horror movie.
Yeah.
That's the nightmare that you've been busy dreaming. That's correct, Luann. It's not evil. It's just mistaken.
And such an abstraction would be irrelevant to the ego.
Yes.
Because the ego is only concerned about its own purposes.
Yep.
So, yes to all that, but
yes.
All we have to do is just ask for help.
Yes. Yes.
And that's it.
Yes, and that's then, it. That's
then,
it.
It goes further than that.
But just stop. Just stop the
take
ego.
A pause.
That's the first step.
Take a step back.
Take a pause and just
ask for help.
I mean, I've got a lot more life things to teach this gentleman, but that was huge for him just to be able to do that. Take a step back.
Yes.
And you can use that metaphorically for a lot of stuff.
You sure can. In fact, there's a whole section in this book. It's called I Need Do Nothing. That's just that.
So yeah, because
it's just that. You really need to do nothing.
Yeah, that's so hard for me.
It's so hard. Yeah. Honestly, right? Yeah.
No, seriously.
I know it. You and the rest of us. And they have a circle.
Is that how
big circle?
Yes, I hope I can see you.
Take a deep breath.
You used to be the other way.
Okay.
Thank you. For indulging in my
So your brother. So, we spent a few moments with this large, but very powerful concept that the light shines away the dark. If there's any darkness in your life anywhere, step back, ask for the Holy Spirit to help you put a little light there. You don't need a lot. A little will do the job. But really, honestly, allowed this to happen. Someplace you'd rather not, and had never seen light before, or maybe it's all drained out. It's time to put it back. This person is calling for love, and you have the very perfect love to answer, especially for your own peace of mind. This is what your assignment is to go and hold that darkness in your mind, or actually see it, and then have a Holy Spirit come into your mind. Please put some light there. Please put some light there for me now. Holy Spirit, take this from me. Let me not use this for further destruction in my life, but let me have you show me how to make peace come through this very darkness. And as you're feeling it now, you will feel it then. Peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
That's a good one. That's coming
that's
with
part
me.
For Kim.
Okay.
The other half of that.
And we're cutting right through this bullshit.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Ready for your pot.
Anyway, he's going to be...